CISA are the local hero people fighting for local food in our community. And Phil Corman from CISA, you usually bring me in delicious food, but now you brought me in a document, a report.
Yes, yes, it's Thought for Food today, Monty. Oh, I'm sorry about that.
Food
but...
for thought so much better. And joining you is Margaret Christie, who wrote this document, which I'm sure is high in fiber. And it's also high in information. It's called Scaling Up Local Food, Investing in Farm and Food Systems Infrastructure in the Pioneer Valley. What does scaling up local food mean?
It means how do we make sure that the food that we grow here in the Pioneer Valley is available to us in all of the places that we live and work and shop and eat.
First off, how are we doing?
Well, we've had huge growth in direct market outlets. So farmers markets, winter farmers markets, CSAs, farm stands.
If you were the Springfield Republican, you might even consider that a glut of farmers markets.
Exactly. I think, in fact, what we need to do is make sure that more and more people can get to those markets, that they're available to people, they're convenient, they're at the right time. You can use your SNAP benefits or your food stamps, all those kinds of things to make sure that everybody can shop there. And then we need to think about where are all the other places we get our food? Because really, even with this growth, only a tiny fraction of the food we eat comes from those direct market outlets.
What's the fraction?
We assume it's 10% or less.
Where is the gap?
Most people get most of their food either from the supermarket, from restaurants, which, you know, goes from McDonald's up through the high-end restaurants, and increasingly from big box stores.
Which area needs the most growth? Is it the supermarkets? Is it restaurants?
I think in some ways it's the interconnection between them all. You know, how do we aggregate enough food that you can serve a big buyer? Mm-hmm. So that if you're a relatively small farmer, but you might want to serve those big markets, how do you join with another farm or another several farms so that you can serve a big market in a way that's not inconvenient to that buyer?
Now, while I don't think that there's anybody who would say, I don't want to eat food that's grown locally from a farm, the main obstacle for people usually is price.
Or convenience.
That could be exactly right. So you may just not have a farm or a farmer's market near you, or may not be served at the restaurant you go to or the supermarket that you're at. Is it really more expensive to buy local food, or is that a myth?
I personally think that it's not the full truth. I think there's times if you're buying some locally grown foods that are nearing out of season or the very beginning of season, you may be paying more. But I think when you're in the heart and the height of the season, it's actually cheaper. And there's ways to be buying as an individual household where you buy in bulk, where you're going to get a much better price. There's been a program down in Springfield, the Farm to Preschool, that has shown that these pre-K nonprofit organizations buying together are saving money when they're buying locally. So I think that's more of a myth. But I think it takes certain skills to sometimes take your locally grown produce and turn it into incredible food for your table. And I think a lot of us have lost those skills that traditionally have been with our cultures and families.
Phil Corman and Margaret Christie from CISA, who have authored a new report called Scaling Up Local Food, Investing in Farm and Food Systems Infrastructure in the Pioneer Valley. What is the first thing we need to do, according to your report, would you say, to get us to the next step? An even greater percentage of local food in people's mouths.
Think about the other foods that we eat. Lots of institutional kitchens serve frozen food in the winter. At the Greenfield CDC, they're working on freezing food, local food for schools. So that's a way to fill that gap. A lot of our issues are that we may have one person doing something, and it'd be good if we had six people doing something. On the other hand, we need to build up the demand so that while we add extra businesses, we're not putting the first ones out of business.
Mm-hmm.
There's some good stories that illustrate where we are. So for example, one of the things that farmers often say about slaughterhouses is that there's not enough options here
right.
in the valley. What they say is that they've got a lot of demand, they're really busy in the fall, and then the rest of the year, they don't have enough volume
animals
coming through
kill.
So that they're having to lay off workers, and that causes complications for them. So those are sort of two sides of the same story, and there may be some things that we can do short of building a new slaughterhouse to address those.
Like what can we do?
Like,
just kill our animals later in the year?
Yeah, there are ways to spread out your system so that you can finish animals in different times of the year. Another option is to say, are there pieces of this that would be appropriate for a new business, like the meat cutting piece, not the actual slaughter piece, but the meat cutting piece?
Phil Corman and Margaret Christie from CISA. As we're in the midst of this Occupy Wall Street movement where people are complaining about the influence of corporate influence on our everyday life, the reason most corporations get that influence is because of the benefits that they offer you, because you get the perception that I'm paying less for this food at Walmart than I would pay for this food at Greenfield's Market, so I'm going to go to the corporation and now I'm hook, line, and sinker invested in them. What educationally could CISA, I guess, be doing to let people know, yeah, you may have to pay a little bit more once in a while, but what you're actually getting for it in value is a great greater thing.
I think what we've seen is a 60-year dramatic change in the way we grow food and eat food. And it's only been the last 10 to 15 years with CISA and other wonderful groups in the Valley and throughout the country that we've been taking back those changes. So we tended to take out all the skill set that we had to grow food on our own, to actually cook up food in our school cafeterias. And we turned it into a global industrial food system that actually maybe sometimes is cheaper when you go to that supermarket and you buy it then. But then when you have the health impacts and then when you have the fuel costs, what you've just done is somehow else that cost is going to be borne either by you, your family, by your community, or by society at large. What we're doing here is we're making it very clear that you are investing your family's health, your family dollars into the local community for local farming to grow the healthy things we need to support a healthy community.
When you're buying local food, you're more likely to be paying all of the true costs. When you're buying food from far away that's been more processed, there are costs that you're paying, but you're not paying them in the grocery store line. You're paying them in other parts of your lives.
Phil Korman and Margaret Christie from CISA, the local hero folks, and the new report, Scaling Up Local Food, Investing in Farm and Food Systems Infrastructure in the Pioneer Valley.
It's on our website.
Buylocalfood.org.